Hello and welcome. It is Brian B. Clark Art 11 on Instagram. The gram.
Gotta give y'all some
hip hop influence. Got a lot of love for hip hop. Some hip hop. Not all of it. Not all hip hop is the same. Some of it is destructive. Some of it is constructive. So anyways, this today's podcast is going to talk about being trapped, you know, in a workplace environment with a narcissistic person, or in a living situation that's kind of, you know, you live with a narcissist, someone who is self-sabotaging and in general just, you know, not a good person, you know. So, I had an example of a guy. Like, I was at work and I was getting something out of the vending machine, and he was standing like to the right, like in front of me to my right, and I was facing the vending machine. And he kind of stepped in front of me. First he said, "Hey, what kind of piece of candy you think I should get? You think I should get this piece of candy right here?" You know, and I was like, you know, first I stopped for a minute. I was like, I don't know, man, the Skittle was pretty good. You know, and then after that, he was like, F that, I'm gonna get this Kit Kat bar or whatever. I was just being petty and low down. And, I mean, I guess it's all on how you respond to things. You know, the best way to handle these type of people is just always use a higher power. You know, like if you're in a workplace environment, try to, you know, talk to the manager. Usually that it can be resolved, you know, without anything getting too many complaints, you know, just messing with people. But I would say, you know, it's pretty bad for intellectuals in the black community in general. I have to talk about how it is, because this is our reality. And more people need to know from a man's perspective, you know, what is going on. And basically what's going on is total and utter disrespect for decent men in the community. And that won't good and, you know, do well. And, you know, you get this crap from all angles, you know. You get this crap, you know, like I said, with, you know, some gang stalking that goes on and other things. But overall, you know, we all deal with toxic people at times. And when we're talking about intellectuals, people look at us as fair game, you know, as let me try to get under this guy's skin, because I think I can, you know, hurt this person. I think I can make this person suffer. So let me get under this person's skin and, in general, try to make this person's life tougher or make myself feel better because I got under that person's skin. So, it's just a good idea not to let these people get under your skin and just literally, you know, I don't even know if it's wise to even send them a warning. I think it's good not to say anything at all and just handle it and walk away and handle it like that. You know, also that turns something physical or whatever, you know. It's sad that at the workplace, you got to worry about this as a grown adult. You know, you have to worry about grown children at the workplace that don't know how to handle themselves. You know, their objective is to tear down and tear somebody else down to build themselves up. And that's a shame. It really is. Now, one of the things I noticed, and we're going to get into some news headlines. You know, but first, before I talk about some of these news headlines, one of the things I noticed is that people that have vision issues, many times, these people are pretty good at art or have some type of musical ability. It's all people with disabilities. But I wonder why this is. I see this a lot. And people with autism or some type of vision or loss of hearing, they still have the ability to do something that's like amazing. And even though they have that disability, they still are able to, you know, have this crazy good talent. So today's news headline says Dutch Museum has art show for people with vision issues. Visually impaired visitor Farid El Mansouri touches during the exhibition The Blind Spot by artist Jasper Udink, Tin Kate, and experienced designer Jerion Prinz aim for blind and visually impaired visitors to appreciate art by touching and smelling. This is just an interesting news piece. It says that the Utrecht Central Museum in the Netherlands offered an unusual art exhibition this month called The Blind Spot. Visitors could look at artworks as expected, but they could also touch and smell them. The show was designed to provide a better experience for museum goers with poor eyesight. The creators made copies of famous paintings and added representative elements that could be heard or smelled. Visitors could even get a feel for the art, which included untouchable elements. Visitor Farid El Mansouri seemed to enjoy his experience. He smiled as he moved his hands over cheese, grapes, and bread. Part of the representation of a famous 1610 painting by Floris van Dyck. First thing that struck me was the smell, El Mansouri said. I could really smell the cheese, and I touched it too. So El Mansouri wondered how the food did not fall from its unbalanced position. That was really surprising to feel. I guess it was glued on pretty well, said El Mansouri. So this is a pretty interesting idea for an art show. I think that, you know, we all like art shows, and to dovetail this, I think it's good to have something that's unique when you're dealing with, uniqueness is an important thing when you're dealing with the, we're talking about, making art shows. So we're talking about drama the last couple podcasts. You know, we all deal with drama of different sorts, being it at the workplace or being it elsewhere. We all kind of deal with the drama in life. We have some people, you know, every other day or so, you know, at least once a week, it's going to be somebody that either looks at you, you know, real strange or has a menacing look, or you know, is real rude, or we just never know what a person's going through in their life. You know, some people get dragged through the mud, you know, constantly. So we have to understand, you know, that these type of things happen, and you know, we have to be aware that using that bad energy to understand that a lot of times when somebody does something, it is literally because there's something in their life that is not going right, or it's something inside of them that is reflective of them. So they have a personal issue going on, and people are like dump trucks. They dump that stuff onto you. The article by Dahlia Bazaz at SeattleTimes.com. Burien. Says Trini was scrolling through her iPad when she heard the sharp noise outside her apartment building. Fireworks, she thought to herself. Then her mom ordered her to leave the room. At 9:30 p.m. on March 28, 2018, the alleyway she and her neighbors take to the Mexican market to buy snacks became the latest stop in the South King Country gang feud. Nearby police found the bodies of Ebonia Cortez and Elizabeth Juarez, two teens, not much older than her, along with the black spray paint can and more than a dozen bullet holes in the siding of the apartment complex. This summer, more than 3 years after the shooting, she and her neighbors got some new scenery on the path she helped paint it. Seattle Times is using a pseudonym to protect her privacy. So in early August, 15 kids living in the alcove at Seahurst Apartments, woman known as Arturis Burien at Burien, unveiled a mural, a sign, and a spoken word poem at the wall facing the alleyway, once a campus for rival gangs to leave their marks. They were the capstones after 6 weeks of creating art and poetry under the guidance of local artists and mentors who coached the middle and high school students to speak truth about where they live and what they wanted to become. The mural is barely noticeable from busy Amburian Ambon Boulevard, the neighborhood's namesake, but the message is large. So they basically build a nice mural to, once again, help stop the violence. And, you know, this was about talk about turning negativity into positive thought and positivity. Because one thing about it is, it's easy to kind of like be in that state of negativity, especially your first year as an artist. You're gonna get very discouraged. You're gonna get to that point where it's like, why am I doing this? Can't get support. I'm having trouble with, getting the support I need. And you know, I just want this all to work out. I want this to be a good thing. And first of all, I would say if you can eliminate drama, that'd be the first thing that I would say to do. You know, it's not to be around people who just don't appreciate either what you do for them, or, you know, just find a way to keep the drama or drama starters to a minimum. But, you know, know, your first year in any business is tough. You know, a lot of people who have success in art, though, they're good at, you know, business. So, you know, you can't let things get you down and discourage you because, you know, things aren't going the way you think they should go, or you're having a certain issue with a certain person, and, you know, it's discouraging. And then some people, when there's negativity that happens, it causes them to buckle. You know, like, some people don't know how to handle somebody really criticizing their art, or, you know, having that negative mindset when it comes to their work. So, you know, not everybody reacts to the same thing the same way. You feel me? So, I guess the important thing is just to always remember that you know, ignorance exists. It's gonna, you know, craziness is gonna happen. We all have, you know, disagreements at times and things of that nature, but it's about how you handle it. You know what I'm saying? So, I've noticed, like, I'm at the point where I'm so busy these days that I don't even have much time to entertain foolishness, you know, from either family member or friend or somebody that's not. But drama is definitely something that to beware. It's a good quote from the article. It says, when you search for Burien in the news, you see gangs in the results, said Edinari Zuniga. He's 13 years old. Burien is a young city compared with some of its neighbors, such as Normandy Park in Seattle. Incorporated in 1993, a quarter of residents were born outside of the United States, according to census data. About a third of the people living in the students' census tract identify as Hispanic. So, you know, gangs are always and have always been, you know, something that I grew up with, you know, in terms of the energy around me. And I grew up in the 90s. And, you know, the height of the gang wars, the whole Tupac and Biggie era, you know, that type of era. And a lot of it is just, a lot of them join it for protection. Some people join it for status. Some people join it for the women. Some people join it for the money. Some people do it for a lot of different reasons. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's some of them that are, you know, not healthy for a constructive community. Overall, though, I think a lot of it just comes back to fatherhood. You know, the reason why people join brotherhood and fatherhood is having that strong male lead figure is what most young people are looking for, and a positive male figure is what most people look for. And then some people just have gotten hurt by one of these gangs and they join them as a form of protection or whatever, because they lost a family member or a gang did something to somebody, or, you know, and they want retaliation. So they say, I'm gonna join a gang. So, you know, this is the reality of things. You know, and all this affects you during your artistic journey. So just learning how to cope and deal with this drama when it ensues. You know, I used to play basketball a lot, and, you know, the gangs would be around, and sometimes we'd be playing basketball against gang members and stuff like that. So, you know, things get kind of out of hand and wild in a heartbeat. Not going to recommend it to everybody, that's for sure, but, you know, as long as it's peaceful and it's on, you keep it on the court. You know, ain't nothing wrong with getting a little physical, but on the basketball court, but it's something else when it comes, you know, off of the court. And families get hurt, you know, it's sad. And it's just sad to see. It's just good to see a good feel-good story of, you know, children taking that negativity and turning something positive. The way I turned it into something positive was every kind of bad event that happened or anything that happened, I just try to use it for motivation and to make sure that I'm staying on task and everything when it comes to being a better basketball player. People, of course, guys would say stuff to me. And a lot of it is just motivation, you know. I wasn't that good, but now I can't help. The people can't help but pick me up because they know, you know, I've really sharpened my skill. So, once again, taking that negativity or that negative environment and turning to something positive, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of things in this society have been placed there as a trap and as a, you know, a way, a snare, you know, to get you caught up and, you know, mess up your record. You know, now you have to be a part of that to be able to survive. But it's a good feel-good story, man. Quote from the article says, people are like, oh, you shouldn't be live there. People die there. People die everywhere, said Trini. It's not the best place to live, but that doesn't mean it can't get better. And that's true. You know what I'm saying? It's always in the universe, the universal law, it's always been a battle between good and evil. Positive vibes and negative vibes. Like, that's something that's always been a constant. Being able to handle tough emotions and things of that nature. So, you know, you deal with these things and you know, like I said, it's all about how you're delivering, how you handle it. So the kids are formed a wolf pack. So, good story. So I hope that all of you can you know, bullying and you know, these types of things, you know, I hope that all of you can overcome all of this stuff, because it really is, life is just too short to have drama in your life, be with someone that brings drama in your life. You know, I love how, let's say you break up with someone, they always act like they're doing like that much better or something like that. And it's funny because, and the reason why I laugh is because it's like, you know, that person has to go out of their way to try to belittle you instead of just living their life and doing whatever it is they normally do, you know. So, but anyways, that's it for this podcast. I hope everybody's doing well out there. Make sure you check out the merchandise at bclarkart.com. In terms of updates at bclarkart, you know, finishing up the rose painting. Really busy schedule with school and work, so it's really hard for me to do a whole lot of art like I'd like to. But I will finish this painting. And it's a special piece because, like I said, it's based off of my late grandmother, and, you know, it means a lot to me, and I don't want to rush. I don't want to hurry up. You know, I'm not in a hurry with that painting. I might work on a couple more months. You know, it'll be done when it's done. And I've got a lot of wonderful collections that are available on the website. Might have some t-shirts coming soon. I just got frame pieces right now. Got a little poster you can get for $10. Save an extra 20% off. Coupon code B Clark Arts. That's B Clark Art. B as in bowl. C as in cat. D as in dairy. It's funny when people, you know, pronounce letters like that. T as in tome. But, you know, this is kind of funny. But anyways, beautiful day. It's about 97 degrees, so I'm trying to stay cool. Oh, I'm also going to recommend a healthy smoothie for artists out there. Kind of gives you that sustained energy throughout the day. And it's just a healthy choice to stay full. You start getting hungry, have those cravings again, just hit yourself with that smoothie, get a good blender. I've been on my little smoothie thing and been working out more. But I work out before I go to bed. Just trying to have a positive day, speak positive things into existence, and they will manifest themselves no matter how hard things get. Alright, so I'm signing out for this video. Stay tuned for more. Hello and welcome. This is Brian from eClarkArt.com. This video we're going to be talking about scams. Scammers. How scammers are now targeting NFT, the NFT art market. Hackers, scammers. One thing that I, you know, notice is, you know, it's so hard to know who to trust these days. You know what I'm saying? So I cannot trust a lot of people. And, you know, you don't want to think bad things, but then again, you know, you got people out there that basically, you know, whether they're jealous or whatever, they think that they're entitled to, you know, your talents or abilities, or, you know, maybe jealous or whatever. So, you know, they think it's important for them to compete against you or whatever. Whatnot, but the reality of the situation is that every artist kind of brings something unique to the table. I guess the key thing is not getting caught up in a situation. You know, the other day I was driving and I saw a deer on the side of the interstate, and it covered the entire lane. So if I was driving any faster, it would have, you know, covered. I would have hit the deer. So, but anyways, you gotta be so careful when you're driving. It's not even funny. So, basically, whoa! This big old bird came out of the tree. It flew right in front of my windshield. But anyways. This is the adventures. This is the art journey. You're kind of with me on my art journey. I obviously I'm in school and, you know, trying to also learn. Actually, you know, in school you don't actually practice your craft, so I have to, on top of, you know, learning, I have to be practicing what I'm learning. It's kind of like you're studying auto mechanic. Sure, you can study it in a classroom or book, but until you get out there and actually start fixing stuff, it's a whole different thing. So the same way it is with art. It's been really busy lately. Haven't really been able to paint like I like to draw like I like to. Obviously there's nothing stopping me though. I'm not, you know, there's nothing stopping me. So I just gotta create that pocket of time to work on that craft. And just in my area, like I said, a lot of times jobs are not as friendly. I'll just say that much. You know, you got people that don't treat you right on the job. So it's plain and simple. So you gotta do what you gotta do, you know, to make it, to be okay, you know, to be able to keep your head above water. If you can't support, bclarkart.com, I appreciate the support. But first, take care of yourself and your family first. I'm not going to tell anybody. I know how times can be. So, but back to my point about these hackers in the NFT market. I want to talk about this. It's a Wall Street Journal reporting today. Fake art, stolen credit card numbers, and phishing schemes. Imposters take advantage of security loopholes in a rapidly growing marketplace. A Serbian artist, Milos Rajkovic, was floored last month when his social media fans started touting an online sale of his animated digital portraits. Hold on one second. I'll get over here. As NFTs or non-fungible tokens. So this is one thing that I'm concerned with because, you know, And this is why I think Instagram should do more to stop it, because I mean, it's still, there's nothing, you know, stopping people from, if you put a clear image of your artwork online, you know, that's something you put your effort in, and it is frustrating when people take it, don't support, and either try to, you know, compete against you or, you know, or something of that nature, you know. So it's frustrating. It's like, man, you know, all this time and you haven't found one business idea to run with. You know, you'd rather try to compete against me instead of actually coming up with any business idea, a smoothie shop, you know, a health food store, the healthy restaurants, you know, there's all kinds of ideas out there. You know, automated, I don't know, anything. Yeah. So, anyways, this is the reality of business. You know, it kills me when I see these people online promoting these pyramid schemes. And, just get 10 people to join. Sally gets Mary, that gets Harry, that gets Joe, and Joe gets Jerry, and Jerry gets Johnny, and Johnny gets Mary, and you're rich. You know, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's like the reality of business is cutthroat. And the reality of business is that the moment that you find something that's actually making money, somebody's going to try to come and compete against you. It's just the nature of it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to either try to outperform you, or outcapitalize on what you're doing. So, it is, imperative to understand that for all those pyramid scheme lovers out there. Love their pyramid schemes, Ponzi's. Really hungry, I might go to Chick-fil-A. Don't tell any vegetarian I'm going to Chick-fil-A though. I like Chick-fil-A. I get, you know, I try to eat healthy. It's really hard, but you know, I gotta do a better job of that. Anyways. So back to this article, it says Mr. Rojvik, who goes by Sholim, had watched NFTs take over the art world, but he had never toyed with them. Horrified, he pulled up the platform OpenSea and found an imposter trying to sell 122 of his works as NFTs for as much as $50,000 combined. People are getting robbed, Mr. Rojvik said. The phony page disappeared at one point, but another version has since popped up. I feel responsible because they love my work and someone is using me to steal from them. It's so frustrating. So NFTs are supercharging the art market, but users warn they have a dark side. Scammers and hackers are increasingly exploiting security gaps in the rapidly expanding marketplace, and artists and collectors who aren't crypto literate are proving easy marks, cyber defense experts say. So around 2.4 billion worth of NFTs traded in the second quarter, slightly up from 2.3 billion sold during the initial NFT art frenzy of the first quarter. According to digital analytics firm DappRadar. So major auction houses and galleries now sell NFT art. Beeple's 69 million NFT still holds the record, and dozens of online art selling platforms are sprouting up, seeking artists and collectors to join NFT art craze. So NFTs are digital vouchers of authenticity that can be attached to images on screens, allowing JPEGs to be traded and tracked indefinitely on the blockchain. So, it's a big problem. You know, I've talked about art thefts before. Talk about how, you know, obviously it's good to track and trace, you know, anybody that's trying to possibly sell your artwork or anything. You know, there's obviously no guarantee that your artwork that you put out there is going to be protected. Some people watermark, you know, and then some people do things different ways. I guess my thing is just, you know, there's nobody that's going to ever have the amount of credibility as the artists themselves that are putting in the hard work to make art. You know when you're getting an original copy of something, you know, I mean an original, I just look bad. You know when you're getting the original art piece. The original art piece is always going to have that texture to it. It's going to always have that gradient scale. So it's always going to have, you know, that when you put your hands on it, you can feel the paint and everything else. So it's just a tough thing to work so hard and see that stolen from you. But you know, hackers are jumping in because a lot of people who aren't tech savvy are suddenly minting and trading NFTs now. So it says Max Heinmeier, director of threat hunting at Darktrace, a cyber defense firm based in Cambridge, England. Collectors see great art, but the guys in black hats see safeguard trap gaps. And unlike at a museum, there are no guards standing around your laptop. So, they said earlier this year, an imposter posing as the street artist Banksy sold $900,000 worth of NFT artworks on the OpenSea platform before the real Banksy learned about the ruse. The artist stepped forward to say he wasn't involved in the sale at all. So, now this is why, I'm so adamant about, artists protecting their work, So, one way, you can do this is to watermark your images. Some images I don't watermark. Some images I don't mind people using, but at the same time, giving credit back to me, I'd appreciate it if you want to use that in your post. There are share features, though, to use it without feeling like you're stealing. But a lot of people don't appreciate artists and what we do. It's not every day that somebody draws you. It's not every day. And then you get, until you actually have tried to become an artist, you don't understand the level of frustration it is to not that working for less than minimum wage is not a good thing. But for some reason, people actually believe that you're supposed to do artwork for the price that they want. Which in a lot of cases, if I have an 8x10 painting, you got people that want you to do it for $20. They want you to do an original sketch of them for $20, and it needs to be highly detailed too. Highly detailed artwork takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and people really just don't appreciate it. But if I tell you 160, you start getting, swirling around the chair when I really should tell you 400. Artists have to put their feet down. Now, eight by ten. Wait, the way I charge for 8x10s is it'd be 8 times. It'd be the dimension times 2. So 8 times 10 times 2 would give you 160. I'm sorry. Yeah, 160. I'm still waking up. Yeah. I can't even do Arnold impersonations after that whole screw your freedom thing by Arnold. It just lets me know that maybe he is really the Terminator. He has no soul. But anyways. So basically, all this attempt to, steal people's freedoms is basically just going to make people want to be more free. And all the people who speak freedom and truth to power, their platform's just gonna blow up. They're gonna become rich and powerful and get rid of these. But see, the universe has a way of rebalancing itself. But anyways, I'm not gonna get too far into that. I just want to get to stop talking about these. It's a level of anger that ignites in me. But if every artist didn't charge less than 8 times 10 times 2, meaning that you take the dimensions of the whatever you're drawing. So let's say you're doing let's just take the 8 by 10 example. So you know how large that piece is. So you said that the dimensions times, the height times the width times 2, and that's your price. If an artist charged no less than that, I think there would be a lot more artists out there thriving. But some people charge be wanting to do their stuff for damn near free. And that's pathetic, because we artists were the ones that allow it. How do you expect to get something for free, man? You didn't earn that. You know what I'm saying? That's basically slavery. It's like you basically saying, you want to get your artwork, you want a drawing done for you for free or virtually free. It's not cool, man. Just pay the full price, and you don't have to worry about a lot of things. And another thing is, just you're showing appreciation for the artist. You You don't want to work for free. Nobody wants to work for free. So, you know, have respect for the artist that is, you know, putting the time, effort, and work in. You know, that's the, and that's also the expertise in terms of the skill sets that you learn that a book is not going to teach you once you start actually painting. You know, I believe in learning by doing. Yeah, book smarts and memory is good, but learning by doing is a much better proposition. So, basically, it's a war zone out there. You know, use watermarks, and definitely don't just give your stuff away for free. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry, but you know, you got some people out here to make you feel guilty. Try to make you feel guilty that you're charging, you know, or you're charging this much. It's like, yeah, I can see, you know, like I sell merchandise. Obviously, there's some things that, in terms of merch, there's some things that you got to have a competitive pricing on so you can compete. But at the same time, if the materials and the quality of your work is higher than normal, you can charge a higher than normal price, obviously. You know, so nobody complains about the price when they go to pay Gucci and Jordan, and everybody loves those brands. You know, so it's that's the way I kind of look at that. But anyways. Anyways, I don't want to read the whole article, but just a little bit, another little snippet, it says problems extend beyond the typical growing pains and glitches of a new art arena, in part because victims say they find so little recourse. So collectors who inadvertently buy fake or stolen art in real world can often speed up a little bit here. Can often seek a refunds or legal remedy. But legal odds can be slimmer in the opaque realm of cryptocurrency. So, you know, theft is a growing problem. It's always something I've had to deal with growing up. You know, these slick people, you know, and I think the ones you got to watch the most is like people, like let's say you have a Shopify store or you have a website or whatever, and, you know, you want to promote your artwork and stuff like that. And, you know, I guess one reason why I don't try to really worry about somebody trying to outcompete me and stuff is because at the end of the day, like, I understand that it takes a lot to find a working solution. And once again, you got people who have robust tracking systems that know how long you've been advertising. They can see how long your ad has been running, and they will come in and compete against you. This is what I've dealt with when I've done online sales before. You know, and it's a joke and it's comical, really, to worry about too much competition. But at the same time, you want to protect yourself. You don't want to just go out there and put your best artwork available on Instagram, you know, as an image, because people just take it, they'll just steal it. You know, it's kind of like how music is. You know, people have music that they love and inspires them and motivates them. It gets them up in the morning, it gets them excited and everything about life, and then they'll come in and they'll go on the internet and rip, you know, rip songs off the web, and it's like, you know, somebody put their heart and soul into that music. Somebody had to really sit there and brainstorm that song. know, to make it a hit, to make it something that people will like. Show some respect, you know, support that artist. You know, there's really some scumbags out here, and like I say, at the end of the day, if somebody doesn't have to work, these lazy bums have no problem. You know, I'm over here going to school, working a job, trying to make artwork. I mean, who goes to school, works a job, and starts a small business all at the same time? You know, ridiculous amount of work. And, you know, it's hard to get anybody to help me at all. You know, but I still do what I got to do, you know. It just kills me, these people who are so bummy, like they can't even, you know, oh, you're talking negative. No, I'm being real, man. This is some real talk right here. How you going to be sitting on your ass all day long and doing nothing with your life and have the nerve, you know what I'm saying? You Mr. Entrepreneurial, and you asking me stuff like, what, you know, how much does it cost for that thing that you're using? You know, that tool you're using. You know, I don't know, man. Because I'm trying to compete. That's what I feel like saying. But it takes a lot, man. So you're going to definitely see my Instagram posts, a lot more watermarks coming in the future. I'll tell you that, but even for my simple stuff, just everything must be watermarked at this point. I'm sick of it, you know. As an artist and someone who believes in supporting other artists, if I like a piece of artwork, I want to support that artist, you know. And you're buying a piece of history. That's another thing. Like, people say, oh, man, you want $600? You want, you know, $1,400 for an art piece and all this stuff? I'm like, you're buying a piece of history. I hope you know that that's not that, you know, once you buy it for that price, you know, it's not going to go down. You know, unless the artist is destroyed or not taken care of. But, heck, I've heard some pieces of art, you know, being partially damaged and still doing well, but, you know, it's disgusting, so I can't talk about it no more. I don't want to make this podcast, but it's just a Libra inside of me. I hate corruption, you know. I just hate laziness. Number one, I hate more than the thief, it's probably laziness, and a lazy thief. That's probably what I hate more, yeah, lazy thief. At least use some creativity to steal. No. If you're going to steal, no, I'm not condoning that. But anyways, Mr. Tiberius, who bought the bogus Shalom work, said he never got his money back from his scammer. So, you know, that's the thing about the blockchain is that I'm concerned with is, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, yeah, crypto. Yeah, you better get your crypto. The dollar's dead, man. Oh, you better hold on to that fiat. Yeah, but the thing about the blockchain and all that is, and digital currency, is that who's in control? Who's really in control of this digital currency? You know, oh, it's so great, you know, millions. I'm like, you know what? It's like, yeah, I know people out there are making money with crypto. I'm not trying to say you can't. Obviously, you know, there's people getting gains out there. You know, Bitcoin's doing pretty well now, from 30,000, you know, it's up at 47, you know, right now it's around. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's like the blockchain, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like who controls this? There's no, you know, I believe you do need some regulation on all of this. Because you have so much, you just have so many people that, gosh, they're corrupt. I don't know. If you can control everything digitally, I mean, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's like, wow, you can steal anything. You know, if you control, you know, through this blockchain and stuff and see all transactions, there's no hiding money under a pillow anymore. It's like full, total control. It's kind of like how people are excited about self-driving cars. I can see if you're disabled and can't drive, yeah. I can see if, maybe, you still got to be comfortable with the computer controlling, you know, the entire vehicle. And then, you know, you got to be, I like self-driving cars probably only for probably going to the store and then have the person load the car with the groceries and then leave. Come back to the house. You know, that's convenient. It saves me a trip to the store. Okay, I'll give them that. But in terms of, you know, using it every day, I don't know. You know, so many things are going digital and online because of this whole, well, y'all know what it is. But you have to be comfortable with computers controlling your car. Once again, who's in control? You know, you get a hacker that hacks your car, you may be in a lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. You may be kidnapped, you know, digitally. Can you imagine the amount of power that a hacker would feel? You know? So, it's really a dangerous, kind of dangerous time. And I really hope that people take precautions. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is that old is gold. And it really is. You know, when you have that old school type of, I guess, vibe about yourself, like it kind of makes it so, you can be able to not worry about a lot of things that we have to worry about in this world today, such as theft. You know, it's it just does not feel good to even have to be concerned with you know, we always hope people just work, right? You know, the other day I was driving somebody and did some ride share. I was driving somebody and they needed a mask. They needed a mask. So they were going into this, building or whatever, and they asked for one of my masks, and like I said, that's one of my favorite masks. It doesn't even feel right to not have her around, but I have my eye mask, excuse me, balanced, and so I let him use it, and he never gave it back, you know. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the guy, it's like, come on, man, like, how are you gonna forget that's my